Okay. Any more announcements, sister?
No, I just want to, just happy to be here, especially with my union brother and my pastor friend. Great. And that we're community involved.
Yes, we are.
We're very community, concerned about the community.
I'm wondering about the ages.
For the IBW?
Yes.
It's 18 and over, so I mean, you know, anybody looking to get into the trade, you know, look into it, and you can get on the IBW Local 48 website, and it'll let you know anything about their apprenticeship.
Okay, so in closing, I'd like to remind people that the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists, we meet the second Tuesday of every month at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee Building. It's called the William Lucy Building, and it's located at 6025 East Burnside. So our next meeting will be on June 14th. Please come and join us. Our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, but please come and join us in representing Black union workers. And once again, I'd like to thank all of our guests for coming in today.
Thank you.
Holla.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Tune in every first Tuesday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. for Transpositive PDX on KBOO for unique programming addressing the transgender, non-binary, two-spirit, and gender non-conforming communities in Portland and beyond. This month's show will focus on providing information about non-binary genders and will also give information on the June Pride Parade and Trans Pride March. That's every first Tuesday of the month from 6 to 7 p.m. on 90.7 FM KBOO Radio.
Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the Diversity in Cannabis Networking Rally, Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. at the Village Ballroom in Portland. The first Minority Cannabis Business Association Networking Rally invites all who are interested in learning about the cannabis industry or networking with business owners, activists, medical professionals, and regulators. Again, that is the Diversity and Cannabis Networking Rally, Saturday, June 11th at 4 p.m. at the Village Ballroom, 704 Northeast Deacon Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th, to take place in locations all over Portland. The Village Building Convergence is an annual celebration of placemaking, community, natural building, music, and art. During the daytime, there will be 35 natural building and public arts projects to take part in. During the evening, there will be food, speakers, musical performances, and more. Again, that's the 16th Annual Village Building Convergence, June 3rd to June 12th in Portland. Information on project locations, performances, speakers, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Amy Johnson. Tonight, I'm airing the final segment of With You on the Journey, which is a performance that took place on October 18th, 2015, at the First Unitarian Church in downtown Portland. The performance was the culmination of a series of writing workshops for family members of people in prison. The performance included 10 family members and 11 monologues, which shared stories about having a loved one in prison. I broadcast the performance in segments beginning at the end of October last year and loved being able to share these stories with you all. Tonight, Carol Imani, the organizer and teacher of With You on the Journey, is joining me for this farewell show. Welcome to Prison Pipeline, Carol Imani.
Thank you.
Let's start by listening to a recording of the event. Tonight's recording will begin with a tribute to a member who died just prior to the performance. You'll also hear a monologue by the author of the book, Mentoring Boys to Men, Climbing Their Own Mountains, Neil Lemery. This monologue tells of the release day of one of the young men that Neil mentored at Tillamook Youth Correctional Facility. The performance ends with a final word from each of the participants. We'll start with director Chris Karsmar, beginning the tribute.
Welcome back. Before we continue the stories, we'd like to take just a couple of minutes to pay tribute to a member of our group who died very unexpectedly while we were writing our monologues. And I will let Carol.
As Chris just said, before we continue with the stories, we'd like to commemorate Adrian Wilson, a member of our group who isn't here today because she died 6 weeks ago. We're not sure what happened, but out for a walk at midday near her workplace in Northeast Portland, Adrian fell in the street and was hit by a car. She sustained life-threatening injuries and died a few days later. We were all in shock when we heard this news, and many of us went to the memorial service for Adrian at her church. Adrian was a very dedicated member of our group, writing about her beloved son, who was due to get out of the Oregon Youth Authority, out of Oregon Youth Authority custody very soon, and is in fact now out. She was the kind of person people tended to immediately feel warm toward, because she herself was so warm. Speaking for myself, the first time I met Adrian to discuss this project, I expected to spend about an hour with her, but I quickly realized what a devoted mom she was when she told me that she visited her son every single day when he was at the juvenile detention center. After that, she told me the story of her son getting in trouble in great detail, her eyes repeatedly filling with tears, and every time they did, I started to cry too. Then I told her the story of my struggles with my son, and by the time we had done that, 3 hours had passed, and we'd become friends. I so much wish that Adrian was here with us today, but she's certainly here in spirit.
Our last monologue is another one from Neil, and we are happy to be ending the performance with his beautiful story about a new beginning for a young man just leaving prison.
Freedom Day. Today we are sharing stories about loved ones in prison and how families try to live their lives around that and care for their family. But not everyone in prison has support from their family. I volunteer at the Oregon Youth Authority prison in my little town on the coast, and I spend time with young men who don't have families in their lives. When they get paroled and it is time for them to leave, there is no one to pick them up. Picking them up from the prison gate and taking them out to their new lives is one of my jobs. I call it Freedom Day. Freedom Day starts at 6 a.m. and the gate slams behind us the last time for Joseph. He is free. Wow, first time without shackles, he says, his voice trembling with emotion. We don't know where Joseph will sleep tonight. The parole bureaucracy hasn't figured this out, though they've known for the last 7 years that he's getting out today. Another uncertainty for this big day. He'll end up tonight in a wretched flea-bag motel on the edge of town, surrounded by meth addicts and drunks, without a key to his room. And I'll be angry about it, but that's the way it goes. Another indignity, more disrespect. Joseph is bright. He's earned his associate's degree and is the prison camp's technology wizard. He's planning to get his bachelor's degree in computer programming, and he's already enrolled at Oregon State in Bend. We've got 200 miles to go, but I take him to the beach first, so he can take a walk without handcuffs and belly chains and breathe the fresh salt air for the first time in 7 years. It's also his first time to be alone in 7 years. I want to take you to the beach, I said. It's pretty there, and there's no fence. My little joke gets a chuckle out of him, so I know he really wants to go. I nudge him down the sandy path, telling him that he's on his own. He needs to be by himself now. I stand by the car, and the salty air is fresh with the incoming tide, mist filtering the early morning light. And I watch him walk out onto the fresh sand, gazing out to sea. He walks, then stops, picking up a stick or maybe a shell, and then looks out into the infinity of the morning. We stop for coffee, and I talk him into a cinnamon roll. He tries not to ask for anything from me, but I'm dad today, and he needs some fatherly care. He laughs at the metal fork, his first time not eating with plastic in 7 years. Everything today is so new. Driving into the mountains, we follow a river, his eyes soaking up the sunlight on the water, the rapids, and the misty clean air of a perfect June day. He stares at it all, sometimes asking a question about the fish or the trees, and deeper questions about college and life and who he wants to become. By the road, there's been a big forest fire last year, lots of blackened trees, new baby trees, and wildflowers. It's a rich metaphor, devastation, replanting, renewal, the wisdom and the lessons of nature. We stop at the summit to look at a few of the peaks of the Cascades. We smell wild roses, pine trees, and crisp mountain air, scented with last night's rainfall. A hawk flies in the distance, and a tear rolls down his face. I cry too, holding him tight, as he tells me how he's missed these mountains, these smells, the hawk soaring high into the blue sky these last 7 years, a third of his life. He breaks down and sobs, his chest gasping the cool, thin air, his tears soaking my shirt. We fall silent, and I feel his heartbeat, his arms clutching me tight. On Freedom Day, there are often no words. 2 hours in the parole office, filling out endless forms, giving a lecture on all the rules. Finding out that his home is the Fleabag Motel. He's pretty calm about it, telling me that he can deal with it. He's going to succeed, despite all the rules and all the barriers thrown in his way. We get him settled in. He'll be okay, he tells me. Don't worry, I'll be fine. Before prison, he lived in the woods one winter, and I know he's determined. There's one last task before I leave. He needs a bike. He's built a bike from scrap metal at prison, but we didn't have room for it in the car, and it didn't have any pedals. I told him I'd buy a bike for him once we got to Bend. He needed it for college and for work. No, don't get me anything, Don't be nice to me. I don't deserve it, he said. I hand him an envelope, the money for his bite. Joseph gulps and looks down, giving me that bad puppy after it peed on the carpet and chewed up my shoe look. I want to do this, I said. I'm not letting you say no, son. You can pay me back someday, or pay it forward if you think you owe me. He takes the envelope, counting out the money a couple of times before folding it into his wallet. He gets quiet, and I look away when I see a tear slide down his face. I get quiet, too. I do that when I get angry. And I'm angry about a father in a family who aren't in their son's life, who don't show up on Freedom Day, about their not visiting him for 7 long years. I get angry about them not keeping him in school, about letting him live in the woods when he's 16. And I'm angry about the flea bag motel he's going back to tonight and not having a lock for his door, and for all the time he's been in prison. I cried when I left him that sunny June day, a day so vibrant and fresh when you think anything is possible. He grinned and gave me a big wave as I watched him ride his shiny red bike down the road into the rest of his beautiful young life.
I'm a mother. I just returned from Washington, D.C., where I met with our Oregon congressional representatives and senators.
I am a mother, and I advocate for parents' rights when children are incarcerated.
I am a mother, and I teach creative writing in prison.
I am a father, and I am a member of Oregon Cure.
I'm a mother. I also am a member of CURE. I also advocate for changing the mandatory minimum sentences in our country.
I'm a friend, and I teach nonviolent communication in prisons.
I'm a father, and I visit men in prison.
I'm a mother, and I advocate for stopping criminalization of mental illness.
I'm a sister, and I create radio shows about issues in the criminal justice system.
Thank you so much. Please join us for a reception down the hall at the end. We have some refreshments. We would love to chat with you, and you can get more information. Thank you.
You are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. I'm Amy Johnson. The audio you just heard was from a performance called With You on the Journey. The monologue you heard was written and performed by Neil Lemery. The story came from Neil's experience mentoring boys who are incarcerated. Neil has written a book about his experience mentoring these kids called Mentoring Boys to Men, Climbing Their Own Mountains. It is available on Amazon, and you can find more information about his book at neillemery.com, which is spelled NEALLEMERY.com. And sitting next to me is Carol Imani, the organizer and the teacher for the project With You on the Journey. Last summer, Carol and I and the other participants met 6 times to write about our experiences with having family members in prison. And then in October, we each read a piece we had written during a monologue we had written during our time together. And in between, we spent time working on our monologues and creating different drafts. And thank you for joining me in the studio, Carol.
Thank you, Amy. It's my pleasure.
Would you begin by telling us a little bit about how you decided to create this project and run the With You on the Journey project?
Yeah, well, a family member had a long history of using drugs and was in and out of jail during the course of that. And I was very much involved with that. And it was painful and difficult. And I came to understand that family members inevitably are involved and have experiences that no one really understands. And so I wanted to enable people in that position, people who'd had those kinds of experiences, to explore them and educate the public.
And how did it all come about?
Well, I was able to persuade the First Unitarian Church to be the fiscal sponsor when I wrote a grant proposal to the Regional Arts and Cultural Council. And the church provided the space for our classes and performance space free of charge. And I got the grant. And I spent quite a bit of time finding people. And last July, we began the writing workshops.
Cool. And what was the process of guiding the participants through creating their monologues like for you?
Well, it was more stressful than I was expecting it to be. For people who had originally signed up, did not participate, two did not show up even to our first session, and two others decided not to continue. And so then I had to recruit some new people. But when our group coalesced, it began to feel like something that was going to really happen. And the six workshops turned out to be not enough to get all of the monologues written. We needed more time, and luckily we had a few months, and so I worked one-to-one with people. Some of the people just wrote their monologues, and they were done, and they were good. But other people had various kinds of struggles. One person at the very beginning said she felt overwhelmed, and she didn't think she could continue, but she did continue, and then she wrote a wonderful monologue about mandatory minimums and what's wrong with them. Someone else wrote several drafts of a monologue, each different from the previous one. And it was because she was trying to explore her experiences and understand them. And in the process of doing that, she did come to an understanding of what was most important and what she wanted to say. And like everyone else, she wrote a really powerful monologue.
What aspects of the performance and the project overall made you most proud, or were you most proud of, or and made you feel satisfied?
Well, initially, I think people were hesitant. I was asking a lot. I was asking them to explore difficult experience in writing, experience that maybe they had not even thought about fully themselves, and then not only to do that, but to perform what they had written in public. So it was hard getting it off the ground. But then when it came time for the performances, as I said, everyone came through and wrote something so moving and powerful. And we had a big audience at the church, and they sat there and listened to these 11 monologues. And were very warm and receptive, and so I was proud of what we all did.
Yeah. And And I guess it's worth saying, because I mentioned Neil's book a couple of times, that he was really the only person, I think, in the group who publishes their writing. So we're regular old folks just telling our story. So that was really special about the project to me. And do you have any plans for the future of With You on the Journey? I know that we recorded a video of it. And do you think you might replicate the project?
Well, I would love to see it move forward in some way. And if anyone who is listening would like to hear some of the monologues, I would suggest that they get in touch with the station, or you, Amy, and then you'll put them in touch with me, and we'll see about it happening. And I know that some members of our group would like that to happen as well.
Yeah, that would be like a repeat performance that some of us might go to, and you can listen to the previous episodes of this program on the KBOO website, kboo.com/prisonpipeline. And beforehand, we talked about how you'd like people to get in touch if they were interested in having some members come and perform the monologues for their group, any type of group. The best would be to email the Prison Pipeline Collective, and we'll forward the message to Carol. So write down our email address if this is something you're interested in. It's kboppc@gmail.com, and that's PPC like Prison Pipeline Collective. And then I'll forward that to Carol. And if you are listening and you'd like to send snail mail, then address it to Prison Pipeline Collective at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. There is a Facebook page for With You on the Journey, which also has Carol's email address. So if you're looking on there, you can find her email address there. And it's facebook.com/withyouonthejourney. And that is all one word. So anything else about the replication, or what types of groups do you think might be interested in hearing?
Well, there are a lot of different kinds of groups, which are in which the members are involved with people in prison in one way or another, or concerned about them. So if any one of those groups or more would like to hear what we did, as I said, we'll be delighted.
Yeah. And you also mentioned that in October at the Women in Prison Conference at Lewis and Clark, that you've been working on a little project that's kind of similar to With You on the Journey with some of the women who had just come out of Coffee Creek. So I'd like if you'd tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, the Women in Prison Conference at Lewis and Clark is happening on the weekend of October 15th and October 16th. A Saturday and a Sunday. And on the Sunday, I'm going to be working this summer with a group of three or four women who were previously incarcerated at Coffee Creek. And they will be writing brief monologues, maybe 5 minutes or so, about their experiences since leaving prison, the challenges that they've been facing trying to reintegrate in society. And they'll each be reading what they've written and taking questions after that. And I am now in the process of looking for funding to do the same thing, only on a larger scale, much like With You on the Journey. Perhaps 8 to 10 people would write longer monologues about their experiences trying to reintegrate after being in prison, and then we do a performance.
Great. Great. That sounds really super exciting. And the Women in Prison Conference, that's at Lewis and Clark, so people have to look for information. Do you know if there's like an easy website for people to look?
Yes.
If they want to go to that, because it's a free conference, right?
It's a free conference. It's sponsored by the Oregon Justice Research Center. Mm-hmm. If you're interested in information about the conference, their website is ojrc.org. I also know that the focus of the conference is going to be on sentencing and mandatory minimum issues.
Great. Yeah, and that will be this October.
Yes.
Great. Well, it's getting to the end of the time for our show, so thank you very much for being with me. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Carol Imani, all the participants of With You on the Journey, the performance director, Chris Karsmar, and assistant director, Melissa Schmitz. And again, you can get in contact with Carol by emailing the Prison Pipeline Collective at kboopc@gmail.com. Thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.